There's a curious, well, to our ears, curious anthropological fact that pervades the biblical writings, and that is the connection between sin and disease. And so if you got leprosy or were lame or blind, then you went to see a priest or something to get exorcised. And you'll notice in the New Testament, exorcism follows close on any kind of healing, because that's the way they put the world together. And that's not unique. Having spent a little time in hospitals when I was in the parishes, I can't tell you how many times I heard the statement, "Why is this happening to me? Why is God doing this to me?" If they had cancer or emphysema or something like that. So it's an impulse in us that seems bone deep and does not really recede with time, it seems. And in Africa, of course, that was common. If you wanted to go to a Western doctor, you always went to a Western doctor. But you also then, the next step, you took yourself to a medicine person, man. I don't think they had women doing this stuff. Again, is this superstition? Or is there something, if we penetrate more into the depths of what is going on, I think it reveals a really serious anthropological truth. Disease minimizes us as human beings. It does. I mean, I have a handicapped son, and I can't tell you how many times people would stare at him like he was a two-headed calf. We were walking down not just the streets of Lusaka, Zambia, but in London, Ontario as well. You know? Racism is anything but dead in our town. And it's always accompanied with some kind of moral judgment. You know? If you'd been really good, you wouldn't have been born black or yellow or brown, you know? Well, so what can we rescue anything from that, what seems to be just a folkloric view of the world and of ourselves? Yeah, I think we can. And there's evidence for this throughout the whole Hebrew Bible, where sin is regularly described as a deformity. They rarely ever, and that only in a very special sense, which we have lost because we're all legalists, is it seen as a breaking of a divine law. You know? Their view of laws was radically different from us angry Saxon people who understand law in a quite radically different way. Now, law is what is supposed to be happening. Well, that's of course not true. But deformity, I mean, if you pull out that thread of deformity or malformation, then all kinds of really important and deep and true things emerge. Because that's exactly what sin is doing. When we sin, that's what we are doing to ourselves. We are self-mutilating. You know? The easiest instance of that, of course, is the lie. And all of us here are familiar to one extent or another with the consequences of the lie and walking around interiorly, shamefacedly. You know, we know there's a basic, deep sense that evil, the only real evil, is dehumanization, and the dehumanization can take multiple forms. And you can point to somebody's color or physical condition and say, well, that poor bugger, you know, he's getting or she's getting what they deserve. And we're ready to make that kind of judgment, I think, often enough. But this, the more important aspect of this thing is precisely a way of reimagining the nature of sin. Because I was raised, I suspect many of you were raised at the same time by nuns, I'd like to say the good nuns, very few of them were good, at least in my experience, where it's always the law, always the law that you've broken. always obedience to the law that was the essence of things. The first obedience that we human beings authentically feel is to ourselves. If we do not respond to our own deepest impulses, we're deforming ourselves. That's why last week I talked about lying. It's not just pandemic. It's not just Vladimir Putin who has cornered the market on not quite telling the truth. But you get all kinds of things with the Senate report on torture, you know. And then, no, no, we didn't torture anybody. No, no, no. This is, you know, fooey, fooey. The truth scares us often enough. And it ought to scare us often enough. Scare us into what? Into a recognition that we are malforming ourselves when we do this stuff. We're not just disobeying God, which is, of course, the whole model of sin that I grew up with. You're not disobeying God, except in this highly differentiated sense, namely that God, what does God want from me? God wants me to be who I am called to be by being created. God wants me to be the real Trojan, not this ersatz facsimile that I often pass off as the true Trojan. So those people, however foreshortened their vision, the people of Africa or the people of Jesus' time, you know, where exorcism and cures go hand in hand. The demon is what? I don't believe in demons, by the way, but that's neither here nor there. They did in Jesus' time. And Jesus certainly seemed to have a, well, that's all right. He was first century Jew. I'm a 21st century Canadian. We obviously are going to have different approaches to the world. But the fact remains that evil, the real evil, is self-inflicted. That old Flip Wilson routine, the devil made me do it. Well, everybody laughed at that. But I bet most people, when they heard it, said, yeah, you're right, Flip, that's exactly what's going on there. The devil made me do that. You know, made me go into that whorehouse or cheat my neighbor or, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that, what I'm getting at is a way of understanding evil that is creative and revelatory. That's why people want to claim that Jesus was without sin. What does that mean? He never deformed himself. He was faithful to all the demands of life, no matter how onerous, even when they caused his death, you know. Jesus is not going to come up to Pilate and say, oh, it was all a big mistake. I was only joking when I said all this stuff, you know. Remember the poor, you know, blah, 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 blah. No, no, Jesus did what, at the end, just what Jesus had been doing in the middle and the beginning. He was being faithful to his own humanity, which was built, as we believe, in the image of God. So this is so important because I heard confession, you don't hear too many these days, at least I don't, that people have a really neurotic sense of what guilt is and what sin is, you know. It's all happening over my head, you know, or coming out of somehow polluted heart because the devil has made me do it. No, no, no. It is me trying to stand before my God, before God, into fullness of my own humanity. And when I don't do that, that's sin.